Are you a mum looking for some parenting inspiration, tips and advice, stories on the ups and downs we face in our lives as parents, some humour and a little bit of fun? Then you may have just found what you're looking for. Hi and welcome to the Parenting in the Thick of It show. I'm your host Louise Clark, a certified parent coach known to many as your parenting partner. As a mum to three teenagers, you can bet I've probably been there, done that, and heard it all. Trust me, there'll be few things that I haven't experienced firsthand. I created this podcast because I just love to help mums like you find ways to navigate life in the thick of it and find a way out of it. Episode 557, What Your Teen Needs You to Understand. Hi and welcome to the show today. Thank you to all of you who tune in from all over the world. I love hearing from you. I love knowing you're tapping into my wisdom, and I love knowing that my support helps you. If you are looking for any coaching or any help, do remember I always have my 4-week group coaching program that runs continuously, where you will get a course, you will work through it in conjunction with meeting me in a Zoom room once a week for a month. It's wonderful, and I'm really enjoying the collaboration that we have on those Tuesdays. Anyway, back to this episode. And I'm actually going to read an article from Psychology Today, which was written by Sean Grover, LCSW. He's a licensed clinical social worker. And it was actually written in January 2018. But I saw this, it came into my Facebook feed the other day, and I read it and thought it was great. And then actually in my 4-week program, somebody just yesterday on Tuesday, they referred to this in connection with some conversation and coaching we were doing around the subject of getting our kids off our phones. And I had this very article pulled up on my laptop because I thought it would be interesting to do as a podcast. And if you've read it, well, you're going to hear it again. If you haven't read it, then pour yourself a cup of tea and sit down while I read through this article. I think, you know, some of it, you know, it's quotes from teenagers. It does kind of go to the darker side of things. And, you know, we have to realize this is a snapshot in time. And these quotes that I will read you before I read you the 7 things teenagers desperately need adults to understand and 7 ways to quiet your teen's negative talk, that these quotes really are pretty, I'm going to say depressing to listen to, but we have to take them all with a pinch of salt, and it's all on a spectrum, on a continuum. And some kids are very depressed and anxious, and others have a smidgen of anxiety and less depression. So they all lie somewhere on the continuum of being mentally stable to the far end, which would be mentally unstable. So let me read it, and you can hopefully get a lot from it as I did. So it starts like this, with quotes. Every day is a prison, trapped inside this changing body, repeating the same day over and over. My whole life is made up of things I have to do, not things I want to do. Tests, quizzes, reading assignments, papers, group projects. I spend the entire day with people I'm forced to be with, teenagers who feel just as messed up as me. Here's another quote. Sometimes my feelings get hurt at school by teachers, deans, counselors, but mostly by other students. I don't tell you this because I'm ashamed to feel hurt. I don't want you to know how hurt I feel all the time. Next quote. My whole life has become, I don't want to. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. Here's another one. I can't think of a single thing that I want to do except sleep. It's the only time I'm not stressing, the only time I'm not worried, the only time I'm not upset. Another quote. Sometimes I hide in my room and binge watch Netflix, YouTube, or mindless videos over and over because I can't stand to be with my own thoughts. I'm distracting myself from me. Does that sound crazy? And yes, I know that my room's a mess. I like it that way. It looks how I feel inside. And please don't ask me what's wrong, because I don't know. I don't know where these feelings come from. I know that you're mad at me. I can't blame you. I stop talking to you. Sometimes I say mean things to you, horrible things. I blame you, curse at you, push you away. Sometimes I break things because I feel broken inside. It wasn't always this way. When I look at old photos of me in elementary school, I see a little kid who was so happy all the time. A little kid who loved to dance and sing, who loved to be silly, who didn't care what people thought. I feel like that little kid is dead. I'm going to tell you something now that's hard to say. Please listen, because I really mean it. Don't give up on me. Don't hate me back. I need you to be stronger than me. I need you to be my parent. Even though I say I don't want one, I need you to be more patient than I can be, more understanding, more accepting. Even when I'm yelling at you, even when I tell you that I hate you, I still need you to love me. If I could tell you how to help me, this is what I would say. 1. Give me space. Don't come into my room, corner me, or make demands. I don't have any answers. When you push me or yell at me, I feel worse. I need to be alone. I need space. I'm going to comment on this one, give me space. And this is something I work on in the group coaching, in that 4-week group coaching course. I always often mention this, that when our teenagers go into their rooms, they're needing some space. Now, this teenager's saying, don't come in. So we need to pick our moments when we go in. We can't just leave them to their own devices. They need us to know that we have their backs, that we're checking in. So find a way, if you haven't seen your teen for a few hours, find a way just to pop your head in the door. Don't ask them, how's your work going? How's your studying going for your test? What mark did you get in your math test yesterday? Just pop your head around the corner of the door and say, hey, I was just passing. I just wanted to say hi. Bye. And maybe leave. Or maybe pop in and say, I was making tea and I made you a cup of tea, and put it on their desk and just say, love you, and leave. They need their space, but they, as much as they say they need it. Remember, she said, even when I'm yelling at you and I tell you I hate you, I still need you to love me. So we need to show them that and find ways of showing them. 2, don't yell at me. The noise in my head is so loud sometimes that I can barely hear my own thoughts. I can't stand it. When you yell, I feel worse about myself. I feel unloved. I feel like I am your biggest disappointment. My comment on that. Yelling never works. We become so triggered by their reactivity and their unconscious responses that we become reactive and unconscious in our reaction to them. So we are the adult. We need to lead the way, and we need to role model this back to them. So yelling never works. I don't know one parent who says yelling works. So your kids are telling you, please don't yell at me. They could yell at you, but we have to take every ounce of what we have to not yell back. 3, this is the big one here. This is the one we were talking about in the group coaching just yesterday. Take my electronics away. I can't put my phone down. I try, but I just can't. I know it's devouring all my time, but I can't help myself. I can't stop checking it. I need your help. I need you to set limits on technology. Please, I will fight you, but it's what I need. Don't try to reason with me. Just do it. Now, this is from a teenager who is in a headspace where he or she realizes that they're spending too much time on technology and they're admitting it. So in those moments where they do, we have to actually show them that we have their backs, and that if we do limit their screen time, it is for their good. I could talk for 25 hours on 3 here, take my electronics away, but don't ever not have limits on your kids' media diet in some way, shape or form. As long as they're under your roof, they need the structure, they need the framework, they need boundaries, and we have to be the ones that do it. 3, Bring me someplace quiet. I say I don't want anything to do with you, but if you could bring me somewhere quiet, somewhere we could walk together and not argue, somewhere I can feel the sun and listen to the wind and the trees, somewhere I can breathe and forget about everything that's bothering me. I think I would like that. Even if we don't speak, I will feel comforted. So my comments to that is, it's very hard when we say to our teens, come, let's go for a walk. Let's go up into the trails. Let's get into nature. And they go, oh, Mom, I don't want to go for a walk with you. But they crave it. And it's only when they're in it that they really recognize just the nourishment and nutrition that it gives them. So, you know, try and get them out there. Beg with them, plead with them, use some humor. And the last point here, even if we don't speak, I will feel comforted. We don't have to talk the whole time with them. They just want our presence. They want to know we're there. And that doesn't mean we have to talk all the time. My middle child is not a big chatter, not a big chatty Cathy. And I have to acknowledge that and accept that. And we often have completely silent car journeys, and that's okay. We love our time together. 5, stop spoiling me. Stop giving me everything I want. The more you give me, the more I resent you. I want to earn things. It helps me feel grown up. I want to learn how to save money, spend money, share money. And I'm never going to learn that if you keep giving it to me. I hate being dependent on you. Please help me become independent. This is huge, really huge, because as long as we keep giving them things, not necessarily on a platter, but keeping doing the things that they can do for themselves, if they need to earn things, we know how we feel when we actually achieve something, when we do something and we are rewarded from doing it. It's a great feeling, that feeling of contributing, of giving. And whether that's in a job and we get cash back, or whether it's just giving to receive the giving is the receiving. They need this. So never do for them what they can do for themselves, because they're never going to learn if you keep giving them everything they need. Give them what they really need. That is to be seen, to be heard, to feel that they belong, to feel that they're good enough, to feel that they matter, and to feel that you understand them and have their back. 6, find me someone to talk to. I need someone to look up to who isn't you. I need an adult to admire, someone I want to be like, a person who believes in me, who pushes me, who understands me, a mentor, a counselor, a therapist, anyone who can give me hope when I have too little for myself. Again, it's very hard because sometimes we say to them, you know, do you want to go and speak to someone? And they go, I don't want to see someone. I don't want to lie on a sofa with someone in a white coat, Mom, on a black chair with a white coat. I don't want that. And what they don't understand is, you know, this mentor, counselor, therapist, whoever. It could be an aunt. It could be someone in an older grade to them. It could be a family friend. But having another set of ears and eyes that's not their parents is really important for them. And sometimes it takes a little bit of pushing to get them to that point, but they'll really benefit from it. 7, tell me that you love me. I pretend not to care, but really, I really need to hear you say the words, I love you, because right now, I don't love me. Even though I'm making your life hell, I still need to feel loved, especially by you. I don't need to say anything to this. Quote, I guess that's it. I know that being a parent is really hard. Sometimes you probably wonder why you did it, but it'll get better, I promise. I'll get older and we'll enjoy each other again. Until then, understand that I appreciate you. I may not say it often, but I still love you. I loved this piece of writing and I want to thank Sean Grover again. I will attach a link to it in the show notes so that you can maybe get it and read it again. I think it's something we can benefit from going through regularly. And, you know, it's not to say we have to do all 7 of those all the time, but just tap into them and, you know, hear these words that these teens are saying and really try and use empathy and step in their shoes and imagine what it must feel like to live in this world that we live in today, with all the digital distractions, with the need for perfectionism, with the constant comparison. It's really hard for them. So have some empathy, be open, be curious. And I hope you enjoyed this. So thank you always for listening, tuning in. And if you haven't yet done this, go over to Good Pods. It's a really new podcast platform that's out there. And just recently I was recommended as a podcast to tune into, which was a real honor for me. So if you want to head over to Good Pods and take a listen, it's really cool because when you subscribe to certain the podcasts that you want to hear of, you can go into your library and every time a new episode drops, you'll see it in your list. So it's super easy to find podcasts, new episodes that you want to listen to. So hop in there, subscribe to this show, listen to it there and see what you think. If you enjoy it, rate and review it, rate and review me. It will help me climb up the podcast charts. But more than that, it's going to help more parents like you tune in to some support and some advice that really, really helps them. So thank you again for listening. Till next time, bye for now. That's it for today's episode on the Parenting in the Thick of It show. If you enjoyed the show, please do share it with your friends and family. And remember, if you find yourself stuck in the thick of it and can't see a way out of it, please send me an email. I would love to help you. My email is louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Parenting in the Thick of It family organizer that I created. It's an evergreen family calendar guaranteeing 12 months of use from whenever you start. It also includes beautifully illustrated, informative, and interactive monthly parenting theme pages to guide you through the year. It's the perfect organizer for busy families to keep track of all their activities, plus help parents be the best parent they can be. It's more than just a calendar. You can find the link for this and the other social media platforms that I am on below the description in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now.